And we looked at justification last time, or on page 8, if you've got one of the books. We're on assurance tonight, number 21. And if you want to be turning to our first, the first scripture reading is going to be 1 John 5:20. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, you can. Assurance in our declaration of faith. Number 21, this is the 21st article. We're over halfway now, so we've got, goes through page 12, so we've got 4 more pages to go. And the last page is not a full page, so just read our article on assurance. We believe that it is the privilege not only of some, but of all who are born again of the Spirit to be assured of their salvation from the very day they take Christ to be their Savior. That is, that this assurance is not founded upon any fancied discovery of their own worthiness, but wholly upon the testimony of God in His written word, and the witness of the Holy Spirit, exciting within His children philia, and I looked that word up a few days ago, and now I can't remember how to pronounce it, filial, love, gratitude, and obedience. And that filial love is the deepest love that a child has for their parent. It's not a word that we use today or even hear today. I had to look it up because I don't know when it was the last time that I'd heard it. I don't know if I ever. I'm sure I have heard it at some point, but it's an old, a word that was used in olden times. But anyway, in our first scripture on assurances, 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, and we know He sends His Holy Spirit. We've talked about this in this study. And He sends His Holy Spirit to us, convicts us of our sin, shows us what our sin, that we are a sinful being, and that we are dead in our sins. And it is through the blood of Christ that we are saved. But how do we know that for sure? The scripture here tells us that we'll know. It says, and we know that the Son of God has come. We know that He's come because the Holy Spirit makes it clear to us. And He'll remind us of that. Now, there may be times in our life where we fall. There's a term used sometimes called falling from grace. We don't fall from grace. We never lose our salvation, but our faith can weaken. We can not be as strong in our faith at times as we should be. It has nothing to do with God's grace. It has to do with our faith. And we sometimes get off into sin that we shouldn't be in. And sometimes we may wonder, You know, or am I really saved? Well, the Holy Spirit will make it clear to us if we really are. We've mentioned in the past, even in this study, we've mentioned there are those who make false professions, either at an early age, or there are some even older, but it seems like it's more commonly with younger people, whether it's peer pressure or pressure from their parents, they'll make a false profession, and then years later, they realize that it wasn't true, and the Holy Spirit is the one that it causes them to bring that to their memory, causes them to understand that, hey, what I did in the past was not true. And then there are those who make that false profession that will never admit it, that we see that fall off into sin and may lead a life of sin the rest of their life here on this earth with no evidence of repentance, no evidence of anything godly in their life. We know that there are those who, and we've been there ourselves. You know, the Lord turns us from those things if we are His. But if we're not His, He's not obligated to turn us from. If a person is not His elect, He has no obligation at all to them, actually. Now, if you notice, in this verse we read, the very next verse, which is the last verse in this chapter and the last verse in this letter, it says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. The easiest way for us to fall out of fellowship with our Lord is idol worship. It's to replace something, whether it's something we've made with our hands, or it's our job, or it can be our family, it can be a multitude of things. It may not be one thing at a time, it may be several things that we put before the Lord. And these things can, you know, when we do those things, when we're out of fellowship with our Lord, it can cause doubts. We can have doubts of our salvation. But like I said, the Holy Spirit will direct us back. Back in our article, it says that this assurance is not founded upon any fancy discovery of their own worthiness, but wholly upon the testimony of God in His written word. John chapter 20, verse 31. John 20, 31. John 20, 31 says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. So, the things that let's back up to verse 30. In many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. So, John says that there was things that Jesus did, signs that He did, that are not recorded in this book, not just John's book, but in the Bible itself. There's too much. There was too much that He did while He was here on this earth to write. But the things that are written are evidence of Him. And they should be an assurance to us. If we're having those doubts of our salvation, we should be able to go and read God's Word. And His Word will reveal to us, especially if we go and read the Gospel. And I would encourage anybody who is has fallen into sin and has fallen out of fellowship with the Lord, go and read the Gospel first and reassure yourself. I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm just saying once you have that boldness that, hey, I am a child of God again, things start looking up for you. And it will draw you closer to the Lord to go back and study His gospel and study why you have claimed to be His, and reassure yourself. In our article, it says, in the witness of the Holy Spirit. Let me back up. But wholly upon the testimony of God in His written word, which we just read, and the witness of the Holy Spirit. So 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. It's His Spirit that's within us that will remind us, that will lead us and guide us, and that will show us this assurance that He speaks of. He dwells within us. He's there even when we've fallen out of fellowship, like I just mentioned. And once we've done that, that Holy Spirit is still within us. He never leaves us. He is there with us through the whole time. And, you know, we hear a popular saying, we hear particularly in the Armenian circles, is, you know, would you talk, when they talk to people about going to the bars and the dance halls and all that, and so would you take Jesus with you there? Well, if you're a child of God, they'll tell you, well, if you're a child of God, that's what you're doing. That's a true statement. Think about that. If you're going someplace that you shouldn't be, whether it's to a bar or a dance hall, or you know, if you got other choices to go buy a drink and you go to a beer store instead, even if you're not buying alcohol, they're not the only place you could have went. You know, if that's the only place you can go, I understand. And I think the Lord understands that. But in our day and time, it's not the only place you can go. But do we want the Holy Spirit going to those places? Would we want God to see us in that place? And He does. A lot of times we don't think about it. There are, you know, it's been a long time since I've been to a movie theater, but, you know, some people go to a movie theater and depending on what's playing, you know, it depends, but I know some of God's people will go and watch things they shouldn't. Will take their kids to see things that kids have no business watching. Some of the movies that are rated for families now are not family movies. All these things that we go and do we want the Lord there with us? Because we got to remember He is there with us. He's in there. He's there inside us. He is there. Not only is He seeing what we're watching, but He sees our thoughts that go along with that movie. And it's not just movies. It can be, like I said, it can be a multitude of things. It depends on what we're doing. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God. So the Holy Spirit, if you notice there, the word Spirit in the first instance is capitalized. And the second time it's not. The first time He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the second time He's talking about our spirit. The Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. And it says that we are the children of God. The reason being is because we are the children of God. If we are not the children of God, we won't have the Holy Spirit within us. One sure sign, people talk about assurance. One sure sign that I've told people before that you will know is when you sin, if the Lord convicts you of it, if you feel convicted of that sin, that's a real good sign that you are the Lord's, and that His Holy Spirit is in you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be convicted of it. Now, we know, depending on what the sin is, there are things that even those that are lost will feel guilty of. For example, someone murders someone. They know it's wrong, and they're going to feel some guilt for it. Most people will anyway, whether they're saved or lost, will feel some guilt over it because they've been taught it's wrong. But the level of sorrow, the level of grief is much different for a child of God if he does those things. And, of course, the Holy Spirit convicts him of it. The person who is unsaved may know it's wrong and may grieve because they've done something wrong, but they don't have that Holy Spirit speaking to their spirit because their spirit's dead, remember. In the last part of our article, exciting within his children, filial love, gratitude, and obedience. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. There's only certain ones that he died for. It's for those that are going to believe. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We know all are dead. All of mankind, spiritually speaking, are dead. But we also know that Christ rose again to bring to life, to bring new life, new birth. We've talked about the new birth a few weeks ago. To his people, to his chosen people. 1 John, our last reading. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So, I guess the greatest thing for our assurance is knowing that it's not depending on us. It's not dependent on us. God is the one that loved first. He's the one that loved us first. If it hadn't been for his love, for his election, for his predestination, for his grace and mercy, and then him sending his Holy Spirit, we would not have answered the call. We would not have answered the call that goes out, calling men to Christ. We talked about that a few times ago about the general call that goes out, but it's only His elect that will answer it, and it's only in His time. We know the greatest thing about our assurances is knowing that it was His Holy Spirit that came to us and caused us to want to answer that call, to put the desire in us. When He called, we were ready to answer when it was His time. It's a sad thing if and I don't know if anyone here has been in that situation or not, but to think that you've been saved all your life, no matter what your age is, and then all of a sudden not have that assurance to wake up one morning and say, I'm not sure anymore. Like we've said, you should be able to go to the Bible, read the gospel again. Read the book of John. Read the love of Christ. And if you are truly His, He'll show you those things. If you're not, then you've got something to worry about. And there may be a reason why you've all of a sudden realized that you have no assurance. Maybe His Holy Spirit speaking to you now. I've known people who 20, 30 years after they made profession, just all of a sudden one day said they knew they were lost. They knew they weren't saved. But they'd been in church all their life. They'd what seemingly looked like a good faithful servant. Had a good family life. But yet one day they realized that assurance was not there. And it hadn't been there all along like they thought it had. And the ones that I've known, thank the Lord that He did save them. That was His timing, His calling for them was later in life. We'll stop there for tonight. Next, Lord willing, on Sunday night, we'll look at sanctification, and it's a little bit more lengthy. But if you want to read ahead, go ahead. There's several scriptures there listed. So we'll close for tonight.